What a wonderful way to begin today. This is Christmas at Prestonwood, and we are so glad that you have joined us. Our choir is in the house this morning, and we're looking forward to hearing our choir. We're going to worship the Lord. Hebron Road, our own Hebron Road singers are going to be singing O Holy Night. And as we begin this service, we're going to light the third candle of Advent. This is right in the heart of Advent. There are 12 days until Christmas. And today's candle is the candle red, which represents love. On the first night of Advent, 2 weeks ago, we lit the candle which represents faith, the green candle. And then last week, the gold candle, our hope that is in Christ. This is Christmas. It is faith. It is hope. And of course, it is love. The love of God in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you and for me. And so we reflect on his love. This is a time of great adoration and celebration of this great love as Jesus is born. And he was born to live and love and give his life on the cross, to die, to rise again on the third day, that we could have eternal life. I have a group of high school students with us this morning, and led by Jacob, who's going to light the candle red, which is the love candle. So we love our students. We thank God for our student ministry, and these fine young people are representing the best of the best. God bless you. So it is now lit. One more to go, which will be next Sunday. Lord, how we thank you for the promise of Emmanuel, that you are with us, that you are always with us. And especially, we thank you for gathering with us as we gather your church today, whether it is online or right here in this room. Lord, your presence is real. And we love you. And we express our love to you with lighting this candle, knowing that you have loved us, that we love you because you have first loved us. So may this time that we have together be filled with this faith and this hope and this love that we have in you. And we offer this time, we offer this service, we offer our worship in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's sing together. Come on.
Good morning, church family. Come on, let's stand together. Let's welcome the presence of the Lord Jesus in this room and engage our hearts today. Come on, you know this. Sing it out.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
And heaven and nature sing.
Come on, from your heart, sing joy to the world.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
That's right.
Let earth
this morning. God's incredible love. Joy to the world. Our God has come.
Child is born, the King of Kings and Lords.
praise.
You're worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Name above all names,
you're the name above all names.
You are worthy.
Let's fill this room today. How great is our God?
How great,
lift your voice, church,
is our God. Won't see with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Yes, he is. Great God, go ahead and take a seat. As we were singing and worshiping together, that last phrase, what a great God. I was looking at Jackson Shivers over here, David and Holly's son, in 2008, had a serious eye injury, and I know that family was worshiping God in the midst of that. He's totally recovered, and it was very serious at that time, but now here he is as a high school student. He plays on our basketball team, and he's locked down and loaded and hitting those baskets. But that song, I know, David and your family, how great is our God. I'm preaching on the promises of God. That's why I mentioned that. And when we sing to the glory of God, the greatness of God, and claim God's promises, we can know that God will fulfill his word to us every single time in his own way and in his own time. I want to thank you, Preston Wood, for being here today. I know it's cold and rainy. Some of you couldn't make it. You're home still online. We're glad that you're here, but let me encourage you to pick up a worship guide, because it's just full of announcements, important information about the rest of this year. And that includes all the services, when we're meeting, how we're doing it. So if you want, you can just go on your text and your phone, your cell phone, and text this number. This is kind of like the key to the church number. It's everything. 74788. How many times you heard me give that? 74788. And you can text in guide, G-U-I-D-E, and get the worship guide right on your handheld device. Or you can pick one up. We have it. But just a couple of things I want to mention. The Christmas Eve services will be coming up, of course, at 1:30, which is an all-mask, all-the-time service, and then the others will be at 3 o'clock, 4:30, and 6 o'clock, both campuses. On the 27th, because we're going to be meeting quite a bit, and because there's been just some challenges with the COVID lately, we're going to go home for Christmas on December the 27th. That's one reason. Another reason is, and by that I mean, you say, what does that mean? That means we're going to have our services at home online, just like back in the day when we were only online. So the 27th, don't come, because we won't be here. But be at home. This is when you get to do your Christmas leftovers and in your pajamas and your coffee and the service. Just this one time for most of us on the 27th. But on that 27th, we're going to make lemonade out of a potentially lemon situation. Just coming out of Christmas, coming out of all of this, we wanted to give some time for everyone to just be at home and safely separated. And then we'll be back in church on the 3rd of January. So that's just some of the things that we're doing. Our Christmas special is up, Joyous Hope. The times, if you want to go to prestonwood.org, you can see all the times it's going to be showing on the national television programming, local and regional programming, along with YouTube and all the ways that content is carried these days, but it is tremendous. And please be praying for the delivery of the message of hope. We're worship. We've got great music on this program. And of course, I'll be delivering a message of hope, of joyous hope to the world. So tell your friends about it. Invite them. Pick up a sign when you leave to put in your yard. I'm seeing more and more Christmas at Prestonwood signs. Let's don't leave one sign behind. And let's put it in our yard. So many things happening. Our mission offering is on. We've spoken recently of the Joe Perry Sports and Fitness, or rather the Sports Complex. And we're giving in many ways over and above our regular giving. But remember, it is our tithes and our offerings at end of year that propel us into a brand new year. So thank you for being faithful in that all year. We've been so blessed by the faithfulness of God's people and, of course, the faithfulness of God. And so this is the time to give. When you leave, there are boxes. You can give online. You can give at one of the kiosks and out in the atrium, or just a good old-fashioned check mailed to the church. What's that? A check. A good old-fashioned check mailed to the church. Speaking of good old-fashioned, one of our favorite songs here at Prestonwood is O Holy Night, sung by the Monks and Rick Briscoe. They now have a name, and their name is Hebron Road. Guess what this road is out here? Hebron Road. You know what Hebron means? It was very special to us when we realized that we were building on this property on Hebron Road. In the Bible, the word Hebron means face to face with God. And we have been face to face with God all these years in this place. And we're so very, very thankful. So here goes the choir and Hebron Road, our magnificent orchestra. We're glad everyone could be here today. O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error. My soul felt its worth. Thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Chains shall he break for the slave. words of joy. In grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise His name forever. His power and glory.
That was worth being here today, and I know it was good online as well, but in this room, it was just magnificent. I woke up thinking this morning, it's so wonderful to be able to go to church and be with God's people, and to encourage one another, and we get to go to church and hear this great choir and orchestra and pray together and give and serve and listen to God's word and obey God's word on our way out throughout the week. What a treasure and what a pleasure it is. And so that song, O Holy Night, is on the Joyous Hope television program. And they actually sang it on top of a mountain in Colorado. We nearly lost them on the way up. But they made it up and down and sang it on a mountain. It's magnificent. And so that's Jarrett and Alan Monk and Rick Briscoe, the Hebron Road. When they were looking for a name, I suggested they call themselves the Monkees. But but there was already a group from the 60s that actually had that name. So Hebron Road's a lot better than the Monkees, for sure. And they sing a lot better, too. I think the Monkees, that was fake singing back in the day. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Our series is called Waymaker. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He is the waymaker. He made a way when there was no way. When we were separated from God, Jesus came. Love found a way. He was born. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. He is the way which gives us life and gives us truth. Jesus, the way maker. And then Jesus, the miracle worker. We're focusing on who Jesus is and why he came and what he did for each one of us. And certainly Jesus is a miracle himself, born of a virgin according to the prophecies of God, and himself performing miracles, changing lives physically, emotionally, spiritually. Jesus is a miracle. Oh, Jesus, what a wonder you are. Each year, I pick a word which becomes my mantra, if you will. It becomes my mindset through the year. Just one word that is my focus for the year. And this year coming up is going to be wonder. Because I've just been overwhelmed with the whole idea of miracles all around us. The miracles of God in our lives. The miracles of God in the wonders of creation and all around us. We, as we mentioned last week in the message, we often pass by miracles every single day. If we would just open our eyes and see through the eyes of faith the miracles of God. This church is a miracle church. We're so grateful for the power of God displayed in the people called Prestonwood. And so we worship the Waymaker, Jesus. We worship the miracle worker. And yes, he is the promise keeper. The promise keeper. So if you will look in your Bibles at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and, chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God, and in the Bible there are something like 8,000 promises that come from God. Thousands and thousands of promises in God's Word. And all of these promises, according to the Scripture, find their yes in Him. Talking about Jesus, the Son of God. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen for the glory of God. Now, throughout this message, as we go, I'm going to ask you to participate a little bit. And when I ask you, I want you to say yes and amen. So let's practice right now. Yes and amen. So this is the way I'm going to get a lot of amens today on this message, all right? So yes and amen. At every point when we cross them, these are the promises of God. There are promise makers, and there are also promise breakers. A recent Gallup, or rather Google search, just coming out of this year, indicated that when people looked up the word broken promises or promise breakers, there were 4 million hits. A lot of broken promises today. 65%, however, surveyed said they believe that they are promise keepers. 65% said, yes, I always keep my promises. Well, as my friend Scott Seal says, you always get an A if you grade your own paper. So I don't know if 65% of us always keep our promises. But one thing I do know is that God always, always keeps his promises. That would be a good place for a yes and an amen. He does. So Jesus is the fulfillment, the perfect promise of God. He is the fulfillment of all that God has said. You're in your Bibles. Turn back in your Old Testament to Joshua chapter 23. Would you go there to Joshua chapter 23? It's always good to bring your Bibles, to mark your Bibles, to take some notes. So look at Joshua chapter 23. Joshua says in verse 14, at the end of his life, his legacy is being cast. He said, I am about to go the way of all the earth. That is, he's dying. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. all have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. Yes and amen. It's true. All of the promises of God are fulfilled, and they are perfectly fulfilled in the promise keeper, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus, after the resurrection, was walking with these two disciples along the road to Emmaus, it says that he began with Moses and the prophets, and he showed them in all the scriptures those things concerning himself. All of the scriptures, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and the law and the prophets, all of it was pointing to the ultimate promise, the promise of God in Jesus Christ. You're in Joshua, go to the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 19, all the way to the end of God's word, the 19th chapter and verse 10. It says, I fell down to worship him. And this was an angel. And the angel said to John the apostle, don't do that. Don't worship me, but worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy, the substance of prophecy, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul tells us that all of the promises of God in Jesus Christ are and amen. It's true. There's so many negatives in the world today. So many no's. We need more yeses. And the yes comes from the promises of God. And I'm here to remind you today that you can believe the promises of God. You can believe this book. You can believe your Bible. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is trustworthy. And what God says, He does. And He never lies. He always tells the truth. So we have the opportunity in our own lifetime on this side of the cross and the resurrection to live in these promises of God. And I want to mention four of the promises that are fulfilled perfectly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, and I encourage you to write these down. Number one, because Jesus has come, we have the promises of God for His presence. God promises His presence. Now, His presence was always available to His people before Christ came. But when Jesus came to earth, when Christ was born at Bethlehem, His name was to be called Emmanuel. God is with us. And because God is with us, we live in the security and the strength that He gives us every day. Emmanuel. If you are a believer and follower of Jesus, then Emmanuel, God with us, He is always present every step of the way. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He is in our lives for the long run, from now until forever. That's security in Christ. We can never lose His presence. We are secure in the salvation that He gives. Paul told us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that He who began the good work in you will perform it, will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. This is why we preach, this is why we teach the security of the believer in Jesus Christ, because God is forever with us. And even when we go through tough times and trials, He knows what He's doing, He knows where He's taking us, He is with us. Because He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He never abandons us. Friends may come and go. Family members can even leave. You could lose your job. You could lose your health. You could lose your strength. You could lose your life. But you can never lose Jesus. Yes and amen. That's affirming His promise. That's saying amen to what we believe. When you say amen, that's saying, that's right. yes and amen to the promise that God is with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And even in the Bible, in Zephaniah, that's one way back in the Old Testament, it tells us that when we're struggling and when we're wrestling, those nights you can't go to sleep, you're wide awake with fears and anxieties and worries. Zephaniah 3:17, it says that God is with us and sings a lullaby. He sings over us. Imagine that. His grace, His love. Today we are remembering His love on the Advent candle. And His love never lets us go. The Apostle Paul said, neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. It's impossible for Him to leave you. He has so much invested in you, in us. He left heaven and came all the way to this world because He loves you. And He has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for every day. He has saved you. And you never need to doubt this if you put your faith and trust in Him. You can trust your days and your destinies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that a better day is coming. A new world is coming. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you in your life every step of the way. He said, believe this, you believe in God, believe also in me. And He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And don't you know that if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We can never escape the grace of God. God is saying, I'm going to be with you every step, every season of your life. And I have an agenda. I have an aim. I have something I want to do with your life. You're not here by accident or chance, but by divine appointment, by divine providence. God has a plan for your life. Every birthday you have. Now, because Jesus had a birthday, because Jesus was born, and we celebrate His birth at this season, because Jesus had a birthday when Christ was born, your birthdays have meaning. If Jesus was not born, if it didn't matter His birth, then no birth matters. Your life is meaningless. You're on your way to an empty world and into judgment and even hell. If Jesus was not born, because Jesus was born to be the Savior, and there's no salvation apart from Him. So because Jesus came, we have the promise of God's presence. So draw near to Him. This is the time He said, draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. Pray. Seek Him, His face, His favor. Get engaged in His plan for your life, His purpose for your life. Because of Christmas, the cradle, and because of Calvary, the cross, we have Him always. This is why I say Christmas and Easter collide. Because of Christmas, we have Easter and the resurrection. We have redemption in Christ. We may lose everything else, but we will never lose Him. Secondly, so that would be a good place for a yes and an amen. Affirm it. Don't just be a promise maker. Be a promise claimer. Claim the promises of God. Secondly, because Christ came, we have the promise of His peace. What did the angels sing that night or shout that night? Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace. Even the name of Jesus speaks of His peace. For you shall call His name Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and who? The Prince of Peace. Christ, the Bible says, is our peace. Peace is not in a pill. Peace is not in another person. Peace is in Christ and Christ alone. He said, my peace I give to you. He was talking to his disciples in the upper room, and he said, my peace I give to you. This is not something the world can give you, and therefore it's not something the world can take away. My peace I give to you. He said, in this world, you will have tribulations, trouble, and we've had plenty of trouble and plenty of tribulation in this world. He said, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. This is why even in a season like this and a year like 2020, we can still say, Merry Christmas. Because the merriment and the joy and the promises and the peace and the gladness and the goodness is ours. He said, peace on earth. When will that peace come? Ultimately, there will be no peace on earth until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes again and establishes his eternal kingdom, and we will be with him forever and ever. In the Hebrew language, the word for peace is shalom. Shalom. When we travel to the Holy Land and visit the people there, we still hear these words in the air ringing as people speak, even in greetings, shalom, peace to you. We have this peace. Peace means that we are reconciled to God. We were in a war with God because of our sin and rebellion. But God was in Christ reconciling, making peace with us. And when we lay down our arms, when we lay down our weapons, when we lay down our pride, when we lay ourselves before the Lord, the battle is over. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished. The battle, the victory is ours. There is victory in Jesus. And now we have his peace. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God living in us. Peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. That's Jesus. Do you have this peace in your life? First, do you have peace with God? Do you have a relationship with God? And then are you living in this peace? Are you resting in the peace that comes from God? So many aren't. But those who are looking to faith and trust in Christ will discover this peace. There was a Gallup poll taken that's widely reported this week. And they were evaluating the mental health of people in America. And they looked at every group and every demographic. And every group and every demographic, we're talking men and women, people of all different races, people of different socioeconomic strain, and so on. All these various things. And there was only one group. Everyone showed a slide in mental health, a significant dip in mental and emotional, spiritual well-being. Down, 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 down. And we know that's true. Except one group. And you know what that group is? The people who attend church every week. Amen. The people who just came part-time, wasn't good. But according to the Gallup survey, I don't trust polls these days all that much. But I do believe this one is right, because this is what the Bible tells us, that those who put their trust and faith have peace with God. That is, as Paul said in Philippians 4, it is the peace that passes understanding. We can't explain it. We can't understand it. But we have this peace. I've seen it over and over again in people's lives. I've experienced it in my own life. This wonderful peace that comes from God. And so the lesson learned, of course, is seek the Lord. Worship the Lord. I know not everybody could get in a room this past year. But we all could go to church. We could all worship God online. And as soon as we can, we're getting back together to the glory of God. And I'm grateful that we were able at the end of May as a church to start regathering and growing again, Preston Wood, and we're praying. Is this thing, the vaccine is coming out? They say the vaccine is about 90 to 95% effective. That's a good promise. 90 to 95% effective. But when God makes a promise, gives a prescription of peace, it's 100% effective. If you will believe it and receive it, that would be a good place for yes and amen. Because Christ came, he said, my peace I give to you. I give it to you. It is my legacy. It is my life. Christ is our peace. Our peace with God. So not only do we have his presence with us, but the third thing that I'm going to mention is that because Christ came, we have the promise of his power. The promise of his power. The promise of peace, the promise of his presence, and yes, the promise of his power. Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now that's power. But it's not human power, it's his power. What does that verse mean? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, the idea there of strength is to pour in strength. It's the idea of God, Jesus, giving us strength when we need it. When we need his strength is available to us. It's poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He pours in our strength. I like the way the Phillips translation gives this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's paraphrased, I am ready for anything because of Christ who lives in me. Now that is a great promise. Jesus not only promised his peace, his presence, but he promises his power, resurrection power, redeeming power. And the fact that we can face anything we're going through knowing that there will be enough strength, if you claim his promise, that there is enough strength for anything and everything that you face. It's a promise. Speaking of one of those 8,000 yes and amen promises of God, promises to claim, Isaiah 41:10 has been the most looked up verse in the Bible, according to YouVersion. They track such things as who's looking up verses and what verses people are looking up. So 2020, with all this fear and all this anxiety that's been going on in people's life and still is, we don't know when this is going to end. It's the uncertainty that's so frightening and frustrating, I might add. But the number one verse that people were looking up was Isaiah 41:10. When I picked up my dad's Bible after his death, it was a very small Bible, a simple Bible really, didn't have study notes in it, and wasn't marked a lot, but there was one verse marked in the cover pages of the book, and that is this verse, Isaiah 41:10. I was so glad that my dad knew the God who gave him that verse and gave us this verse. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. That is, don't live in dread. Do not be dismayed. Do not be overwhelmed with fear. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord upholds you with his strong right hand. Whatever you're going through, God's got you. And he will give you the strength. You say, I got serious temptations in my life. God says, I will give you the power to overcome temptation in your life and provide for you a way of escape. I've got some really tough trials going on in my life or in my family. God promises, because Christ came, this power, this strength, He will enable you to go in through anything that you're going through in your life. That's a promise. Any trial, any test, any battle that you're fighting, every challenge that we face, every crisis, every command that we need to keep, we can trust God for anything because Jesus, our Savior, can do anything but fail. And He will never fail you. His strength is available. This is what I'm going to call promise thinking. You've heard of positive thinking. I like positive thinking. I sure like positive thinking a lot better than negative thinking. Positive thinking is good as far as it goes, but there's something better than positive thinking, and it's promise thinking. Thinking on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. Strengthening in the promises of God. And all of this is because He came. Oh, the difference that Christ makes in our lives because He came. One final thing. Because Christ came, we have the promise of God's presence. Emmanuel is with us. The promise of God's peace. My peace I give to you. Christ is our peace. We have the promise of His power every single day. What happened at Bethlehem so long ago, He is alive in us. He is born in us. And Jesus said in John chapter 7, He who believes in me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The innermost being literally means the womb. Jesus was born in the womb of Mary. But think about it. Out of the innermost being of every believer, Christ is born. And His power flows through us. But there's one final promise that I mentioned of so many. These are the highlights, obviously. Because Christ came, we have the promise of His pardon. Pardon. I'm talking about the forgiveness of sins. You shall call His name Jesus, the angel said, because He shall save His people from their sins. Why did Christ come? He came to seek and to save the lost, to save us from our sins. Your greatest need, my greatest need, is a Savior who forgives us of all of our sins, and there are many. All of us have sinned. If you doubt that you're a sinner, just look at the mirror just a little while longer and think a little deeper, because you know what is sin. Sin is a debt that we owe that we cannot pay. Sin is a disobedience to God, both sins of omission and commission, the things that we do that displease God, the things that we don't do that honor God, that we serve Him. A little boy was asked, what are the sins of commission and omission? He said, I know. He said, the sins of commission are those things you do that you ought not to do, and those sins of omission are those things that you want to do but you hadn't got around to yet. Sin is a debt. Sin is a disobedience. Sin is a disease. A disease. An infectious disease. More powerful, more deadly than any virus. And so what is our greatest need? Our greatest need is salvation. Our greatest need is a Savior. Our greatest need is forgiveness. And not only forgiveness, but with this pardon comes power. And with this forgiveness comes, wait for it, freedom. Freedom from the power of sin and death upon our lives. He sets us free. He came to set the captive free. And when you choose Jesus, you choose this forgiveness. When you follow our Lord, you invite His salvation. You know, when you give someone a gift, if you really care, you know, you sit down and you think, what does this person really need? Maybe even, what does this person really want? But what would be special for this person? What would be the thing that I could give in love that would be special. It's not always easy. You know, we don't always get it right. I heard about a couple. They went to the mall, and they're a middle-aged couple, and they got separated at the mall for a while, and the wife was getting concerned about her husband, so she called him, trying to find him in the mall. She called him on his cell phone. He answered, and she said, "Where are you?" And he said, "Well," he said, "you remember that jewelry store when we were just married and we walked in and there's that beautiful diamond necklace?" It's near Christmas now. He said, "You know that beautiful diamond necklace that you looked at it, you loved it?" And I said, one day, darling, some Christmas, I'm going to get you that necklace. You remember that jewelry store?" And now she's just welling up with tears and she's so excited. She said, Oh, yes, I remember exactly where that store is." He said, "Well, I'm in the gun store next door." We don't always get it right, but God does.
Amen.
And Jesus came as the Savior to deliver us and save us from our sins. He was delivered, the Christ child, the Savior of the world, so that we could be delivered and saved. What does it mean to be saved? It means that Jesus comes to live in your life, that he forgives all of your sins, and then he gives you this hope and this promise of peace and presence and power. And yes, one day, the Prince of Peace is coming again. Jesus is going to break through the sky with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and he will come again. This time not as Mary's lamb, a little lamb, but the sovereign Lord, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. So would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Be a promise claimer today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, here's the promise you need to hear. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Do you know that you're saved? Do you know Christ? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? He made a promise to you that if you would put your faith and trust, repenting of your sin and receiving Christ into your life, that he would come in and be your Savior and do what only God can do, what we can never do for ourselves, Jesus did for us. He was born, he lived, he died, he rose again, he's coming again. That's who he is. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Many people know about him or have a religious experience or an emotional experience of some kind along the way. But do you know that you know that you know that if you were to die today, that you would go to heaven because of Christ living in your life? If not, pray a prayer like this right now from your heart to the Lord who's listening. This is a divine appointment. You're not here by chance or circumstance. This is God's moment. This is a miracle for you. Watching online, worshiping in this room, pray, "Lord Jesus, I believe and trust in you. I turn from my sin and I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into my life." Just ask him. "Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my Master. Be my friend. Come and live with me forever and take me to heaven one day that I can be with you. Give me the assurance to know that I'm saved, that I belong to you. May I live for you and love you all the days of my life and forever and ever." 747-88 online is the number to text JESUS. Do it right now. There's someone standing by. We have materials we want to give you, a Bible. We'll consult with you. We'll speak with you. If you want to go into the chat room. But God is speaking to you. God is calling you to himself. And God wants you through Christ to believe and receive him today. And right here in this worship center, in this magnificent place, God brought you here today to hear this message and to respond and say to that promise, yes and amen. And here's how I'm going to ask you now to say yes and amen. And if you will trust Christ, then that is to come forward and stand here with me. I know it may be hard. It could be even difficult. But people love you here. People are going to be encouraging you here. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be afraid to come forward. But come and stand with me here. And that act of faith will be your testimony that you want to become a follower of Jesus. Will you do it today? Ask God to help you, to give you the strength to do it right now. He will. I promise you, you'll never regret it. Say, what's going to happen? We'll speak with you. We'll share the scriptures with you. We'll answer your questions if you have questions. We'll help you know that you know with God's word. And you can leave this place with Christ in your life. There are others. You want to be baptized as a believer. You've never been biblically baptized by immersion as a believer. We've got baptismal services coming up next weekend. Why don't you come today and make a decision publicly that you want to be baptized. Others want to join the church. You want to be a part of Prestonwood Church family. We have a membership, and that membership provides accountability. It provides fellowship. So many reasons to be a member of a local church, and not only an attender, but a member. So God is calling you to join this church today. Why don't you lead the way and set the example for others? Lord, take now this time of decision. And as we sing it, may people say it with their lives, yes and amen. Lord, as we come to you, as we put our faith in you, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Move at this time. Miracles in people's lives, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.